Recording. Okay. So calling to order the meeting of the Economic Development Commission on January 15th, 2025 at 6:01 p.m. Can I do a roll call? Chairman Brown,
Present.
Commissioner Preston, Commissioner Walfeld,
Present.
Commissioner Bringle,
Present.
Commissioner Chaplunkar,
Present.
and Commissioner Graham is not present. And also Commissioner Lowe's is not present.
But we do expect Brad to have Graham, so in which case we'll make sure it's noted in the minutes.
Yes.
Public comment. Oh, yes. Great. Come forward. Thank you.
It's on.
Did
No.
you see like a button there? Perhaps you
Yeah.
got it.
It's
Cool.
up right here, Green. Thank you. I'm Archie Secunder, 500 block of River Oaks Drive. I wanted to speak tonight on the broker services contract proposal. The EDC's process to review the proposals for broker services and its selection of EDC commissioner firm JLL is a conflict of interest. Creating a subcommittee of two commissioners to review the proposals rather than three, with no minutes of the subcommittee, without published criteria for selection, and selecting the firm whose managing director is an EDC commissioner is inappropriate. The same firm was selected to market Lincoln Lathrop on behalf of the property's receiver. This could potentially create a conflict of interest with the marketing of the four village-owned properties. Three semifinalists were invited to brief meetings with the EDC subcommittee. Where's the audio and the minutes of those meetings? Where's the statement a village needs the candidates are charged with addressing? July 10th, at the EDC meeting, the minutes state the chair and one commissioner reviewed five original RFP proposals. Partway through the discussion, the chair acknowledges the potential for conflict, and to avoid the appearance of conflict, Mr. Walfeld was asked to leave the commissioner's table but sat in the audience. Chairman Brown noted the need for appearance of fairness. River Forest residents and business owners need more than the appearance of fairness. We need actual fairness without conflict of interest. November 6th, Mr. Walsh states the broker hiring was impacted by neighborhood dialogues, as information to move forward had not yet been determined. What information and criteria was used to evaluate the initial five RFPs and the three presentations from the brief meetings? Executive session on November 6th was quote, to discuss property for sale, end quote. But the Open Meetings Act specifies exec session on the sale of properties can only be, quote, for the setting of a price for the sale or lease of property owned by the public body, end quote. This commission does not own property, the village does. Sitting on the EDC, Mr. Walfeld got an insider's look at the village's needs, desires, and requirements. The EDC's broker selection effort was designed to give Mr. Walfeld the village contract, potentially worth $300,000 to $500,000, on village assets of four properties, demoed, abated, and appreciated over 6 to 8 years, that could be worth more than $4 million. This is a conflict of interest. The EDC's procedures to appear fair and equitable were weak and ineffective, as could be JLL's representing concurrently the Lincoln Lathrop receiver for similar marketing function. Quoted from today's Wednesday Journal article on neighborhood dialogues, it stated that little trust from residents exists on the selections process for the developer at Lincoln Lathrop. Tonight's agenda lists no vote on the broker contract. Commissioners are being used to deliver the village leadership's choice while trying to make the process appear proper and fair to all brokers and residents. Commissioners and residents knowingly or unwittingly are being led to a predetermined selection. We can do better. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comments? Okay, great. The approval of others.
She just got let in.
If
Let me
anyone
see. I'll ask.
on that wants to speak, now's the time. Doesn't sound like it.
It does
So,
not.
okay.
I'll let you know if that changes.
Yeah, if that pops up, just try to just let the administrator know so we don't interrupt anything. The approval of minutes, I want to get a chance to take a look at the minutes. Any changes, issues? Not, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Broker services presentation. I want to thank JLL for coming in tonight. Yeah, I'm tempted to discuss a little bit more, but why don't we talk a little bit just about have your presentation, do a little Q&A as you mentioned, and then we can perhaps talk more after if need be. So thanks again for coming in.
For having us.
It is. It should be. Yeah.
Is the green light on?
See green light on.
I think I turned it off.
That's not good. Maybe not.
There you go.
Thanks. We have a deck that we've made printed copies of, and I think can be projected. Is that correct, Jessica?
Yeah, Matt, it's the PDF on the
Oh.
computer. If you right click, oh no, I'm sorry. That icon, that one. Full screen. Perfect.
First of all, thanks for having us. I'm Tom Kirschbrown. I work in the capital markets group at JLL, and our team kind of focuses on land that's ready for new development. And certainly this fills that category. We work all over the country. Definitely we're headquartered here in Chicago and do a lot of work in the area. We sold the Dominican Priory property for Dominican University. We were engaged by the courts through their special servicer to take Lincoln Lafer to market. And the courts have done a little U-turn, so to speak, after we were able to find an acceptable bid. Our hope is that you're comfortable that we understand what the River Forest is all about. And we're excited about the possibility of taking this on for the village. Let's go to the basically, I just want to talk about how we might position this property. The story of River Forest is a very positive one, so we wanted to work too hard to present to the development community, what a great opportunity this is to kind of add to the vitality of that stretch of Madison Street. The employment levels are great, incomes are great, access to employment and major employment centers, both downtown Chicago, is pretty spectacular. So we brought along copies of how we had presented Lincoln Lathrop, so you can see how we would anticipate packaging this item. Let's go to the next slide. These are fairly difficult times in the development business today. Interest rates are a concern, but given this the size and scale that's possible here, there's a fairly good sized universe of developers, I think, would want to take a look at this thing. We know who's already interested in River Forest by virtue of those who showed up for both the Priory project as well as Lathrop. So we're pretty confident that you're going to have a spirited bidding process. And in that process, you'll be able to see development schemes by those parties. So you have an idea of whether or not their proposed development matches the city's desire. We don't decide, who wins. And all we do is kind of bring information to you so you can make an informed decision. Let's move to the next. The timeline for going to market is pretty manageable. The unknowns are Will it be, subject to getting a plan development agreement in place, and that can take a period of time while the community weighs in on their opinions, and the city decides, who they want to go with. And, one of the things we pointed out, I think, when we were in discussions with you is you may find a bid that is not compelling financially, but what they would add to the community is compelling. And so you have latitude of saying, you know what, these guys can do more for Village than the guys that are coming in at the top price. And again, we don't decide that. So we keep you up to speed on our conversations with the market. We usually will do weekly or bi-weekly updates. We package up the bids when they come in, so you can make you can see how they're coming in and what conditions are running with each of these offers. We work with the Village on assembling the information so that bidders have full knowledge of what's involved on that site. They will be communicating with your planning group and the Village administrator to understand the city's preferences so that they can make a proposal that is in alignment with your desires. I think the next slide is, impossible to read. Oh, no. This is the marketing materials that we tend to put together. Well, the information that you give us usually goes into a password-protected data room. So when somebody signs a non-disclosure agreement, if that's necessary, then they have access to all the information, survey, title report, everything else. And our goal is to give them as much information as is meaningful so that they don't come to you after a contract and say, hey, we didn't know this, and therefore we need to pay you less for this, or we have to extend our due diligence in an unacceptable way. We've got a copy of what we did. Let's go to the next slide. So when we get bids in, there are a variety of criteria that we use to compare those bids. And again, this is impossible to read up there, but this is just a sample of how we would do bid comparisons, so that you can see, all the conditions and the capabilities of those bidders. Are they well capitalized? Can they get to the closing table? What's their track record in doing similar type of things in metropolitan Chicago and elsewhere? So that, again, it doesn't crank out the answer for you, but you've at least got a structure you can use to say, hey, this one is good, this one is bad. And we will decide who we want to select at that point. We in the Village. I think that's all we have formally. We've got the appendix. This thing, just if you want to talk about zoning, density, or who might show up for the bidding. But that pretty much sums up what we have to present today.
Well, thank you very much. I don't necessarily have so much of a question yet, but just a statement. You guys have been great from the get-go. To be honest with you, we sent out, we had RFPs, and we were reaching out to all kinds of brokers. There's really three that made sense by their knowledge, their size, their knowledge of the community, things of that nature. Your presentation was fantastic. I think we joked around a little bit. The fact is, we understand there's a perceived conflict of interest, because there's two people that happen to have work at the same company. We fully understand as a committee that you guys are completely separate, don't even see each other unless in Christmas parties. Anyone who works at a big...
We don't even like...
Yeah. Anyone who works at a big corporation fully understands that and understands the difference. But of course, there's a perceived conflict that we're not blind to. Right, we understand that the temperament and where we are these days, that someone might raise some concern there. I will say your presentation and what you've done was so far and above and beyond, fully understood what the committee was looking for, even stuff that we didn't fully understand that we were looking for. You knew that it far outweighed anything from my standpoint, at least. I'll just say that, I mean, right now, what, as you know, what we seem to understand more so than any other brokers is that we're not looking always for the biggest dollar amount to have this return on our investment. We're looking for the best thing for the community. You got that right from the get-go. It's so important that we have a broker that understands it. It might not just be a moneymaker. This is one that we're going to have significant community input. If we can somehow make a giant park work economically and get everything in there, great. You know what I mean? Like, we're open to ideas, and you guys have been open from the get-go. Fact of the matter is, we just need to cast a wide net here, and you clearly have the widest net knowledge of the area. So, wanted more of a statement, nothing really to say there, but I did want to thank you, if nothing else, for all the work you guys put into this and really helping us out, already helping us, the committee out. I've been a big fan of getting a broker on board for some time. I think it's needed. Someone that understands intricacies of the village. And you definitely seem to.
I don't know if I need to stand up here. That was just oh, yeah. Like a comment. I think just a comment on just our marketing process that, you know, we intend to work, you know, very closely with whoever you guys guide us to work with and to ensure that, you know, we're presenting this opportunity to the market on a broad basis that aligns with the goals of the village, right? We don't have any sort of perceived notions as to what should happen here. The other thing I'd mention is that our marketing process is very, it's not a passive sort of process, right? We don't just put up a sign and hope someone calls us and then see what happens. We're going to be very proactively reaching out to the development community to make sure that they're paying attention to this opportunity and so that we're getting as many eyeballs on this as possible so that we have the deepest perspective and most qualified developer pool that's in the market looking at this deal, and hopefully that they'll show up and want to collaborate with the village to deliver a project that's truly a benefit to the community. And so, you know, our goal is to really work really hard to bring options to the table. And then for what happens from there, that's for, I think, the community, everyone else to weigh in and decide on. That's not our decision.
That's great.
Just want to make that
comment. No, yeah, that understanding is fantastic.
To follow on that, in terms of the marketing, how do you structure this? Do you do it as a, is just an open bid process that anybody can bid at any time? Is it a time frame, like an RFP? I come from the RFP world, so where it's structured and you have a certain amount of time to respond, you go out marketing to put it out there as an invitation, or is it just rolling offers come in and you weigh it? Maybe you can opine on that. And I also think that part of the, we are looking for something beyond just economic return. You know, it's not a beautiful project. And I think the comprehensive plan, probably has some shortcomings in my mind, but it does stipulate or articulate sort of a vision for what the village wants. And I think some of that has to drive this proposal. And I don't know, in terms of the marketing, I'll see it in like this one, but is that a supplemental? Is there something that you could add that would point them to the right direction in terms of what the development expectations are? But that is key. It's not, again, it's not just, hey, we want to sell it. We want to sell it to the right developer to execute the kind of development that the village wants. And that's, you know, again, the starting point is the comprehensive plan. Two questions.
Yeah, it's as much art as it is science. When we go out to market, we get a feel for when you've got enough interest that it's time to do a call for offers. So we don't usually impose a schedule going in. We're just not sure, you know, how the market's going to react. And then in conversations with you, we say, you know, we think we've got like four or five guys that are going to take a run at this. Let's set a date for them to. And in a public setting like this, we will give direction in the offering memorandum, saying, you know, this is about, you know, a long-term legacy for the village of River Forest, and, you know, we will send you to your master plan to see what the community's desires are. And most of these developers know that after they're selected and they're going through the PD process, they're going to be town hall where they need to present to the community, and they hear loud and clear. But you want to get the guys that, number one, know how to navigate that and can respond positively, mm-hmm. and and have done this before. So that's kind of part of the qualification process. So we think, say we hit the market February 1st, and I don't know what the process is for final engagement, but it would probably be 6 to 8 weeks of outreach to the developer. They're posing questions to us. We're sending some of them to you, but hey, I don't know the answer on that, but Matt knows. And work and so that's why it's important for us to be communicating, being on the same page with best to get to the market. And then, you know, it's probably in that 6 to 8 week horizon that we'll say, okay, we're looking for bids on this date. And we you know, they know by then what are the criteria for selection. And, you know, that O1's not going out until you guys approve it. So any messaging you want. And when we did the, when we're marketing the Mars plant up on Armitage and Oak Park Avenue, there was work that was done in the community prior to going to market. And there was a link in the O1 to this thing that List did. And it was pretty clear what the community wanted. We could do the same thing in here with a link to your master plan. So then you don't want something coming in kind of blind, just the wrong
post. Yep.
I think you discourage people from submitting offers on a monthly basis because it creates an issue with fairness.
Oh, absolutely.
And people don't feel like they're being treated fairly, the process isn't being run fairly. So having that call for offers date is really the most efficient way to market.
And they want to make sure their offer isn't getting shopped
right
to somebody else. So it just creates a good playing field for development.
I think macro environment aside, given your familiarity with forest and understanding the needs and working on, you know, similar projects, you know, what concerns or challenges kind of, you know, come to mind?
You know, the capital markets are still struggling. We were talking earlier about discounts on office buildings these days. But I think this is kind of bite-sized, for lack of a better term. And there are more parties that can raise the capital for something like this than if it's a major, huge-scale project. So I think this is the kind of thing that somebody with a banking relationship will be able to do in a fairly quick fashion, get their project, their shovel in the ground reasonably quickly, and not be hanging out there like a high rise. And so I hope 2 years from now that the market's okay. So these smaller deals are kind of easier to get done in today's market.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. It's the larger scale type one high rise construction type projects that just they do not pencil. Whereas, you know, these more boutique type projects, infill submarkets, really strong demographic communities, we're still seeing demand from the market for those types of projects. You know, by way of example, you know, the certainty of execution, the track record of the developers, those are all very important. That's part of the vetting process. And then working with our debt equity placement team, like they just capitalized another project in downtown Glenview. It was a 62-unit project. It was $34 million total project size. And those are the types of scales of projects that can get done in this market. And, you know, we would anticipate that someone would have some sort of similar vision of sort of project for this site is, you know, what just got done in Glenview. So, you know, we know that basically the economics behind that deal and what can get done and what can't get done. And so part of that vetting process is like understanding how these groups are thinking about the deal so that it can give you that guidance of like, hey, this might work, this might not work. These are the reasons why.
Just,
so you all can kind of determine from there what is, you know, what is best for the community to pursue.
It's I've been on this commission for a while, and it's just so nice that we're getting close to having the broker. We really needed it for some time. someone that knows the market, you know, for all the developments. You know, we have a failed developer that you guys know right down here, local developer. We need to cast a wider net. You know, you guys know more. I mean, I said it earlier. I'm really interested to see by talking with people, not only locally, but nationally, perhaps, that might be able to do something like this, are going to come up with. We just haven't had that come into our markets in some cases, but not so much. So it's I'm looking forward to having a broker all over the stuff.
It really, everybody's busy, right? And it does require you have to be in people's face and pitching them on why this is a great opportunity.
Yep.
It is an actively engaged marketing process. It's not
you can't just put a sign up. I mean, it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing something, as you're mentioning, we're all busy. So it's someone that can focus on it.
I think given the scale of what's possible here, you're most likely to get local and regional players here.
Makes sense.
And there's plenty of them.
Right.
So, you know, we'll cast as wide a net as makes sense.
Why do you think it's a great opportunity? Why do you think it's a great opportunity?
Why do I think it's a great opportunity? I think that the scale of first and foremost, the community that's here and the demographics that are here, that is a desirable. Developers want to cater to a demographic profile that could, you know, frankly, afford generally the rents or the sale prices of what a product is that justifies a meaningful return to them and can basically, if you will, accommodate what the costs are to build that project. So there needs to be economic incentive. I think this is a community that, you know, that incentive is there for developers to come to the market. And then to Tom's point, the scale of this project is what is attractive in the market today. You know, if we were trying to say this is going to be a 30-story high-rise type project, there isn't a market for that today. But we do believe that in our experience, there's a market for this type of project.
The other thing is being an infill location, developers are pleased that I'm going to have the best product and not a lot of competition coming in down the street. So infill is preferred these days relative to something out on the perimeter.
Makes sense. Any other questions or?
I think if I could just a comment for the record.
Yeah.
First, I completely respect any public comment bringing up the question of conflict of interest. That's very fair. I just for the record, I'd like to say I have absolutely no personal involvement or incentive whatsoever associated with this, a referral fee, no revenue share, nothing of the kind. And in fact, until tonight, this was the first presentation that I've heard yet by founding. JLL is one of two of the largest real estate service providers in the world, over 100,000 people. We just happen to be headquartered in Chicago. So it's I think the fact that JLL is here to present tonight has probably a lot more to do with the fact that there was a successful sale of private sale from the university than my being a member of this. So just for the record.
No, thank you for that. I mean, I think it's important to say, we all know it. We've been there at the meetings.
I would just add, having been a part of it, that it's a fair process. And if JLL, in terms of your services and your understanding of the village, what did far exceed our rails?
I think I jokingly said.
I do this a lot. The really good presentation and hit on all the things I think the village wants in terms of finding the right voter and getting the right voter.
It was so far and above. And if we'd be doing River Forest a disservice if we didn't recommend you, is my mind, because I think you understand the market well, and I think you give us the best chance to provide a development that, again, isn't always just about the economics, but, you know, what's going to be appreciated in the neighborhood. It's a small community, you get that, you know, like I've been here forever, a lot of us have. We don't want there's a lot of development going on around here. We don't really want that. We want something that's going to work for the community. We want development, but what has to fit. So you guys got that from the get-go, so that's appreciated. I don't know what our... Do we send them on our way? How does this work? I mean...
If you're done with their presentation, you can just thank them, and then we can move on to the next one.
I know how to communicate. Thank
you. Well, I mean, they don't have to leave if you don't want them.
Okay.
You know.
The village is not the high risk. We're really going to feel good about ourselves.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's Wednesday, cold.
Yes.
You guys are more than I would, you know, feel free to take off. We're going to be doing some pretty boring, you know, stuff the rest of this. So.
So the next item on the agenda is a discussion of the commissioners here regarding the broker services contracts and recommendation. So I have specific language for a motion that I'll give for you.
Okay.
And then we can begin the discussion here. And then hopefully after that, if you're comfortable, there will be a vote for a recommendation or a vote not to recommend JLL to the village board.
Makes
for
sense.
The contract.
I guess actually in that case, it's probably good that they're waving, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey,
stop. Kidding.
Here's your...
Should we just get the lawyer to see if there's a conflict of interest and put in an opinion saying there is no conflict of interest? I don't think there's a conflict of interest. Should we get the village attorney? Should we get the village attorney provide an opinion saying there is no conflict of interest?
I'm personally glad to do whatever the village would like.
And that's the only reason I say this is because... as a lawyer, I don't believe there's a conflict of interest. That's just my unclear opinion. I'm not operating as a lawyer. But questions like this fester, and the community is just going to, it's going to come up 6 months down the line, 8 months down the line, and it's going to taint perhaps a very good project.
Yeah, and I do certainly, I mean, we all sign shape. I didn't participate, and I'm recusing myself from any vote. I didn't discuss, you know, participation discussion of the actual project or the service provider. Not fucking thing to do that. But regarding conflict, however, you know, the committee suggests. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think maybe we defer it as a question to the general counsel to ask them their opinion.
Well, I think we can make. We can make a recommendation to the board and say, you know, we also recommend that get an opinion from our council stating that there's no conflict of whether there is a conflict of interest or not. And that gets discussed and it's put to rest.
Yeah, no, I agree with the idea that we would do it. I'm not sure the pathway to doing it. I mean, forgive me for my knowledge of how the village works, what kind of the approval, if it's something we go to the trust. The board of trustees, I mean, or do we talk with general counsel? That'd be my only. And then if it is something that we have to approve, then it's something we have to officially approve in the meeting. So I do think I really appreciate what you said. Things like this, we've seen the factor, you know, there'll always be that offhanded comment. So I think it's probably a good idea to put it to rest. It probably will still faster, to be honest with you, but, you know, it is what it is. So with that, I'd probably ask the village.
I don't think that request necessarily needs to be part of a motion recommendation, but I think the point's well taken that any statement from the attorney just to kind of reinforce that. You know, we've talked about this or some other similar cases, and this doesn't rise to that kind of cognitive interest. Especially since it's a recommending body of the board, but ultimately that will be taken for the action that kind of provides another level of support protection from that potential issue. But I think that as part of the presenting of the recommendation board, as staff will certainly include that as part of the package. And
the
reason
I mentioned not including it as part of the recommendation, I think that it's almost as already like kind of tying or bringing what we're recommending this group, there's no conflict of interest. It's packaging that together, I think may kind of have the opposite effect. But I think that including that, that's my commitment to bring something forward for the board. It's stated at the board meeting as well with our administrator.
Well, I think that makes sense. I think that's a really good point. But I'm kind of looking at it, we're more of a recommended body, and the village board who's going to pass the ultimate approval.
So
they decide we want to use local general counsel, we may want to have outside counsel, we may want to do a myriad of things, and not really saying that, hey, this is the road that we decided to go down, but we're not the approval body. I think there's been a lot of transparency about the possible conflict. Make the recommendation to the village board, sure they've seen other situations, and then they can decide on how to get comfortable. But I think having that conversation is very important.
Yeah. Well, maybe make it part of the recommendation that it's acknowledged that there's a perceived. We've talked to general counsel, you know, I would have that conversation. And then that the overall package outweighed any perceived, you know, thought that there might be an issue here, however you want to phrase it. But I think that's important. It's important to recognize it. You know what I mean? Like, that if people are going to bring it up, that's important to recognize it. So it's small enough community. So let's make sure we respond to it. And that, I think that's a good point. That's another layer of sort of, you know, if there's no legal, anyways, we can start over. It makes sense. So discussion regarding any other discussion topics on it? I mean, are we recommending them? I'm assuming that's the general feel.
So what's after the recommendation? Goes to the board for negotiation?
No. So we would do negotiations with the with JLL regarding the terms of the contract. And then once I have a contract that both of our attorneys have generally agreed to, then we would present it to the village board. I think we were looking at possibly in the next two months, bringing this forward to the village board. We're trying to figure out the schedule right now. And also how long it takes those negotiations to occur.
But I think in terms of the recommendation tonight would be that if the commission so chooses, would be recommend that the board enter into an agreement with JLL. The terms of that agreement will be worked through from the staff and legal side of the board. It would be a specific contract, but the recommendation of the selection of JLL as that the firm will be the board partner.
I think you had some language that worked to that. So I don't want to stop the other questions. Any other questions or comments on it?
I had one question. You brought up economic return on the property that you were asking the question. Economic return to who?
Whatever the purchase items are to the village.
Okay.
Meaning we're not just seeking, we want $1.5 million for the property and that's it. So we're trying to also drive good development.
Right.
I mean, if there's other streams attached. As an architect or planner, I think we're also looking for, you know, quality development, quality program, things that match and align with the company's. That's what I was thinking. It's a combination of, I think, product and the brand. And those may offset, you never know, a lot of negotiations. Sometimes you get a great project that maybe less dollars in terms of, but it's the benefit is you got a quality project to the retail or whatever. Totally. But I think you got to weigh it that way.
It's really tough.
The financial.
But it is also the fun. You know,
that's going to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, personally, it would be nice to have something. I'd love to say this, look, give it away so we can have the coolest, neatest, everyone would love it, community, whatever situation, whether that be mixed use or who knows. But that's also, you know, our taxpayers' money, you know, so we have to weigh both of these things. But I think the idea is that we're not looking for the top dollar, you know, whereas a normal investor might be. We get our money back, that'd be great. We're looking for more for something probably not as an emphasis on the economic side, more so on the, you know, what does it fit in the
there's
community.
A balance.
Yeah, there's a balance, right? Because it's also the village money. I mean, it's our taxpayers' money. So I don't want to give it away,
right?
But, right?
You've got to weigh all that.
Yeah.
I mean, all positive.
Whereas if you're an investor,
a whole bunch of 5%.
Yeah, right. And I think they got that, which was cool. I mean, right from the get-go, which was like, I thought, it was funny. They were really the best.
Yeah.
All right, so did you have language around
yes.
it? Yes.
So it's the language from your board packet, but I'll read it, and then if whoever wants to call out motion and second, just so to keep it easier, a motion to recommend a contract with JLL for the purposes of broker services be presented and approved by the village board at a future board meeting. So do you have a motion? And a second. Who did it?
Oh, you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so for the purposes of, well, I was going to say for the purposes of any concerns, could we do a voice vote?
Sure.
So we can document. So I'll call it out and you can just say a or nay.
Yep.
Chairman Brown?
Yay.
Commissioner Preston?
Yay.
Commissioner Triplunkar?
Yay.
Commissioner Bringle?
Yay.
And Commissioner Walfeld?
Abstain.
Thank you. Okay. There we go. Very good. Moving on. Darian, are you still here?
He left out.
Yeah, right.
No.
Here he is. Okay, if you want to unmute yourself, we're looking at item 6 for an update regarding the TIF small business incentive programs.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm at home a little sick. So, let's do this.
Can you hold on for just a second?
Oh, yeah.
It's on my computer.
You in progress.
It just gives me the chance, the option to choose speakers.
I don't know.
Bunch of those brokers knew how to do it. We should get them back. What's
hey, Darian?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I am getting a very bad echo.
Okay. Hold on just a moment. That's what I tried. It doesn't give me the just same. Oh. Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There we go. Thank
this
you.
I can do everything.
All right. Matt, fix it. Thank you.
Great. Like we discussed during our, oh, there your wonderful faces are. Hi, like we discussed at our last EDC meeting, the chamber went back and talked with some local business owners in River Forest about the TIF CFIT program. Unfortunately, business owners, oftentimes when there's something good, they are not as likely to answer my calls. So didn't actually get a chance to have a big group discussion with all the business owners, but did receive some comments back via email. And overall, all positive. In fact, there were a lot of no comments and this is good. A lot of folks really liked that specifically. There were the ability to use this for improvements for you know, ADA accommodations and things like that. So, you know, overall, all the business owners that we spoke to and at our board meeting where I presented this, I received positive feedback and, you know, nothing to report back from the businesses other than that, really.
No, that makes sense. Thank you. Yeah, it seems like it's a good plan. I can't imagine why business owners wouldn't like it. I do like the ADA part. I guess I didn't even think of that myself, but no, that's great. More equitable. I guess that's it. We had to wait. I mean, anything else going on with how are we doing? Any news on the
Memorial Day?
The parade?
No real news. Gonna connect with the Kiwanis folks in the next couple of weeks just to, you know, share our ideas with them. But, you know, we just really need to kind of get a sign up for the small businesses up and ready that are gonna participate. So I hope to, you know, have that kind of fleshed out for everybody at the next meeting. But, you know, nothing too much to report on that. But yeah, other than that, you know, the chamber is full steam ahead with its new year. So Bite Night is coming up on January 31st. Really excited that we got quite a few businesses from the Hub Kitchen in. So I want to say about 5 or 6 of their folks are going to be at Bite Night. So that's really great. And yeah, you know, looking forward to another productive year helping out our small business community.
No, that's awesome. It's great to have you guys as a partner because, I mean, this... You can help with this parade. You can do a lot of things that would be difficult for us to do on our own. So it's been great. Thank you. Probably watch you get back at it then. I mean, that was kind of number 7 too. I'm looking at it.
So what is the next step? Is it to make that recommendation as well to the village board?
Yeah, that's a good question. On the TIF?
So, well, I was expecting some kind of feedback to incorporate and then give you guys another draft to make sure we were all done and give you like a final version. So I can have that ready in February. Does that work? Mm-hmm. And then we can move forward with making the recommendation. The draft facade grant program.
You've gotten our comments, right? You've got mine, right?
Yep, I have your comments. Okay. I hadn't received any additional comments.
You got your comments.
Yes, we do. and then do you want to explain?
Sure. So Jessica and I are still kind of navigating what the next steps are. There's been a few examples where commissions have made recommendations about a program or ordinance to the village board, and then the village board kind of wants to go in a different direction and then kick it back to the commission. So I think may want to have like a discussion with the village board about it to see if there's any questions or things that they want the commission to explore further without kind of setting them up with the expectation of voting on the program. Frankly, I don't think there's going to be too much objection, but there might be some blind spots that we haven't considered. So I think that getting that feedback from the board, having the commission answer any of those questions, if there are any, and then making that recommendation, then everyone's kind of on the same page and it's a smoother approval when it gets to that point. So I guess one potential way to handle that, there's been some comments and red line versions back and forth. We can prepare to bring that forward to the board at one of these. The agendas are kind of getting filled up. So potentially the first meeting in February and then bring it back to the EDC after that. We can always share that feedback in between the meetings too, to at least get questions so that we can prepare that recommendation. So I think that's probably the next step, unless the commission wants to tinker with it any further.
No, whatever gets it out there sooner, right?
Yeah, I think the last draft was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. But I understand you need to, you know, brush it up a little bit, whatever, and then, you know, have something to present to the board. But yeah, I think that sounds good. Whatever gets it done quickest.
And I think that timeline works out well with our budget, which doesn't matter to everyone else, but it's good for us. And then also that's, you know, getting into construction season and things.
Right. People might that's what I was thinking.
I think that would be an exciting kind of spring kind of launch of the program.
Too. If people would probably want to know about this March, May, I mean, who knows what we're going to see. I guess
the question. So Matt, this just, you know, you don't have to, you know, not putting you on the spot, but sure.
in your experience, what would be a reasonable time expectation for this to be? It's fully approved, voted on, and we publicly announce it and launch it. Is it April? Is that reasonable?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I in this case, it'll just be, you know, creating the actual forms that we'll do, making a web page to house it, you know, having a scheduling out a couple posts in our newsletter and social media. In this case, I think specifically either mailing or direct sending to the businesses and property owners within the TIF districts to really
that was my next
take credit
question
for the program for everyone, but we also, it only technically applies to, you know, those properties. So I think checking in with them, I think that's maybe a couple weeks after approval to go forward. So no, I don't think that's will be too much of a challenge.
That was my next question. How are you going to market it? Like, we've discussed about it a little bit, but I was thinking there can't be that many, and it's just a good opportunity. You know, I would also suggest at that time, if there's any gaps in the information that we have about them while we're giving them money, might be, you know what I mean? Like,
because
I know we've had a difficult time figuring out what, you know, having a database for all the different businesses. So I don't know. I'm sure you need more things to do. But
oh, this is a good thing. I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is a great program.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win-win, right? Mm-hmm. Triple bottom line. Okay. Awesome. So we're done with seven. General, I have something. I actually have something. We always say other business, and then no one's like, oh, I want to go home. I actually have something. I don't know if it's...
Do you have a general, any development?
Well, no. Mine's another business, okay. But general development.
So, the village took steps toward the end of 24 to and filed a complaint to try and motivate the demolition of the structures on the site. And we're all tired of looking at the structures out there. We wanted to have it cleaned up and also to try and motivate some resolution between the developer and the bank. That case has now been consolidated with the larger foreclosure case between Wintrust, Beverly Bank, and Lake and Lathrop Partners. So, doesn't necessarily change the next step, but now the village is kind of a party to the larger case, and allows us to you know, there's some legal involvement that we can potentially use to move that along. The other pending item there is last spring Lake and Lathrop Partners applied for a building permit to complete the project, which we swiftly denied due to everything that had happened. They did not like the denial, and they have sued the village to try and force us to issue the building permit. So we have filed a motion to dismiss that lawsuit, and we are supposed to hear that decision by Valentine's Day, February 14th. That's a pending case that will come out. Even if a building permit were to be issued, I don't know what the developer would do with it, given all the other challenges. So it's just a tactic from the developer on that case. So we're hoping to at least get that case dismissed and a slight win under the village's belt. So that's the status there. The next hearing for the foreclosure case is next week, a week from today. It's not the most exciting update, but that's kind of where we're at with that right now. Mattis Street, we kind of talked about that. I meant to, share, we had our, the neighborhood dialogues, series that we had in the fall, including, one at, Raj's house. We had a report that we should share with the EDC just to kind of see all the feedback from the residents that participated in those dialogues. They're really productive friendly conversations. There were some kind of new ideas that came out. A lot of things that are not surprising or things we've heard before, concerns about parking and privacy and traffic and impact on schools, the kind of concerns that we hear anytime a development comes up. But another piece that came through was a lot of residents just kind of want to get a better understanding of what is out there, and an understanding of what the market will bear. I think there are residents that are, you know, willing to learn or willing to be be converted to accept a development if it's the right fit. I think they're just more of a public education piece to it. And I think having a broker on board to provide that expertise, we've talked about it at these meetings before, having that expertise, I think will help that rather than just me saying a developer needs X. That's not the recognize that's not the best presentation of that fact. So at that presentation on Monday night, and mentioned to the board that this broker recommendation was coming forward, and there's a lot of support for that idea. To don't want to sit on vacant property much longer. I think the village purchased it for a reason to see it developed. And I think, you know, with the action tonight, moving it forward, I think trying to keep a lot of momentum for 2025. Mm-hmm. Other development updates. I don't think I have much to say. Probably repeating from last meeting, Whole Foods has submitted its permits for the expansion into the rally house space. So that's good news. They'd already done some of the internal demolition, but interior demolition. Nice. So those permits are currently under review. I don't have a timeline yet for what that construction looks like, but that's coming soon.
And that's 100% occupied over there, right? Isn't it?
I think so. I believe so. Yeah, both one and two, I think, are fully occupied now.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
That's probably the first time that's been 100% occupied in a while, I guess.
Also, Jewel update submitted permits to do some expansion. They're actually doing some pretty extensive internal remodeling and things. Yeah.
When they moved the adult nutrition on me yesterday, so I was a little pissed. They moved that whole section to the right around. Like, what? It didn't go anywhere. Whatever. Just have to make them figure that out. Yeah. That's good. All right. Well, it's moving along slowly. Another nice thing about having this broker, again, I don't need to repeat it, is that we won't have a local developer. When he said we're going to draw from local and regional, I'm like, not too local.
That
if it comes from here, of course, but I'm just saying, like,
there's a number of times that during the neighborhood dialogues that a resident would be like, you know, we have so many folks in town, we should have you know, someone local that has a stake in the town do a development. And usually that we get a reaction from others in the room that are familiar with.
We're good there. Right. Well, we're gonna let's have something where everyone's involved that they can. Anyways, so that'd be great. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Other business? As I teased, I had other business. Well, look, I don't know if it's the right spot, but a friend of mine.
You're not gonna tell another holiday
story. I'm not. But it does involve Billy Heinz, which is sort of, you don't ever know where it's gonna go. He had this idea, so, and it might be for the park district, but I wanted to talk. I guess I could have talked to you off board, but I just thought about it on the way here. There's all these old vendor spots at the park district, like over on Keystone, that are closed. Is that run by the park district? Those, you know, those little like hot dog stands, the concession stands. I'm sorry, that's the word I'm looking for. There's one at Priory and there's one here. He would like to run those and have places for kids to, you know, get a hot dog and a some chips, and he doesn't know who to talk to.
That would be Mike.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. The park district. Have to do that first.
I'll talk with him.
I just for a village role in reviewing and that piece, but at least to open up that discussion, to lease the space or whatever that would
reach out to him.
Right.
Because it's there, but we wouldn't have any. Okay. I wanted that in a minute so I could say, look, it was in the damn minutes. So park district is. Any other business? All right. Motion to adjourn.
Awesome.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Adjourning at 7:01 p.m.